take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, we'll read the first six verses together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 6. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. And let's pray, Father, thank you again for being here. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Fill us with your power as we listen, so we might walk out of here more like you and less like ourselves. Father, again, we're in need. We're sinners. We need your help. Please help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The sermon tonight is entitled, Why Preaching is So Important to Me. Now, maybe this sermon is just for me tonight. I don't know. But I wish that for the same reasons preaching is important to me, I wish it could become important to you. Obviously, you'd say, well, Brother Owens, because you're a preacher, we could see why it might be extra important to you. And maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But I can tell you this, preaching is indeed very important. If you'll listen carefully, I want to talk to you about the subject, why preaching is so important to me. When you read earlier from Isaiah chapter 61, we read the first six verses. That passage of Scripture is a very, very famous passage of Scripture, known and used by a lot of different preachers, where it is said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach. Now, so you understand, that is actually an Old Testament reference to, or the presence of, if you will, Jesus Christ. Because those verses there are really all about Jesus. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to read to you from Luke chapter 4. You do not have to turn to it, but let me read a few verses to you. The Bible says in Luke 4, verse 16, and as he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, this is Jesus Christ. It says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. Here's Jesus. He's in the city of Nazareth where he grew up. He went to the synagogue, the Bible says, as is his custom. What did that mean? When the synagogue was open, Jesus was there. Just like you, he had a custom. What did that mean? It meant it was his routine. He was a man of character. And here he is in town, so he goes to church just like he's supposed to. The Bible says that Jesus took the Bible. They have the manuscripts of the book of Isaiah. He took it. He opened it up, and he began to read. And he reads about the fact that God had anointed him to be a preacher. He was to preach the gospel to the poor. He was to heal up the brokenhearted. He was to preach deliverance to the captive. The Bible says that everybody in the synagogue, their eyes were fastened upon him. Jesus Christ was a preacher. He was a preacher. The Old Testament tells us he was a preacher. The New Testament tells us that he was a preacher. If you had asked Jesus, "Who are you?" His answer would be, "I am the Son of God." If you were to ask him, "From where have you come?" He would say, "I came from heaven." So, who are you? "I'm the Son of God." "From where have you come to us?" "I came from heaven." "Well, what are you?" He'd say, "I'm a preacher." I'm a preacher. Because Jesus Christ was a preacher. This entire book, the book we call the Bible, that's his message. If you'd like to know about the message of Jesus Christ, all you have to do is start in the book of Genesis, read all the way through the book of Revelation. That is his message. You get to see the very outline written by God. That is God's outline. That is Jesus' outline. Every sermon in the Bible was borrowed, and every speaker in the Bible borrowed an outline from Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God. Jesus Christ was the walking Word of God. He was the Word of God come to life. You see, all of Genesis was the message of the preacher Jesus Christ. All of Exodus was his message. All of Leviticus was his message. All of Numbers was his message. All of Deuteronomy was his message. All 39 books of the Old Testament are the messages of Jesus Christ. He penned it, he handed it to a man and said, "Now you go down there and you preach it and you teach it and you read it, but that's my message." You get to the New Testament. All of Matthew is the message of Jesus Christ. All of Mark is a message of Jesus Christ. All of Luke, all of John, they're messages of Jesus Christ, the preacher. All the book of Acts, we get to hearing the Apostle Paul and Peter preaching, and we say, "Oh, that's Paul's message. That is a plagiarized message."
Right.
From who? From Jesus? They borrowed what they said. Hey, when the Bible was written, God led these men to write the message of God. All 27 of the New Testament books are the message of Jesus Christ. Now, I take preaching real seriously. I take it very seriously. Why? Oh, it's such an important thing. Jesus Christ was a preacher. That's why we have nurseries for a couple of different reasons here. One reason, we think that children can learn at their learning level. They'll learn more at that level. Little age back there in the nurseries with the nursery workers teaching them. But secondly, we have nurseries because little ones have a tendency to destroy preaching services. They get to grunting and whining and crying, and then mama wants to play with them, and before long you got mama coming in, going out, coming in, going out, coming in, going out, coming in, going out. Why? Because you're taking care of a baby. Wait a minute, something big's going on here. What is it? Preaching. Preaching. That's why we protect our services. We won't have a cantata here that will replace the preaching. We don't do that. Now, we will have a cantata here, but it will be at an earlier hour, and we'll still have preaching. We won't show a Christian film here that takes the place of preaching. God did not choose the foolishness of cantatas to save the lost, but the foolishness of preaching. It wasn't a Christian film that God chose to save the lost. It was preaching that God chose. We will not have drama that will take the place of preaching. Now, we may have some skit. We may even have some play today or someday. But I'll tell you this, it will never, ever take the place of preaching. God did not choose the foolishness of drama to save them that are lost. He chose preaching. Why? Because Jesus was a preacher. Listen, when the preaching's going on, you'll find out. If our teenagers misbehave and talk, I'll say, "Hey, sit down there. You be quiet. Preaching's going on." Why? I think preaching's important. I think it's very important. We don't walk in and out of our services, you know. You can go to some church. A week ago, I visited another church. And as I sat there, I watched children virtually getting up and walking around during the preaching. One kid got up, he walked over here, grabbed a book, took it back over here, sat down, got done with the book, got up, right during the preaching, walked over here, set the book down, walked back over here. There are people getting up, wandering around, changing seats. You sit down and listen to the preaching. This isn't a movie theater. This is preaching.
Amen.
sit there and listen to the preaching. It's big stuff. We're careful about it. I take preaching very seriously. It was my privilege for many, many years at Hiles Anderson College. I taught a course called Preaching 1 and Preaching 2. Some colleges would call them homiletics. And I taught young man after young man about the importance of preaching. I told them, it's no game. It's a serious thing. You need to make sure if you're going to do it, that you do it right and that you take it seriously. So, to me, every sermon is a big one. Every sermon is a big one. You know, when I come to church, I don't know how long it is until the World Series will be played, but I'll tell you something. To me, every preaching service is as big as the World Series. Hey, the Indy 500 is no bigger than one preaching service where the preaching of the Word of God is going on. The Super Bowl cannot match what goes on at one preaching service. That's how big I take. I mean, everyone. I'm talking about if I preach to a group where there's only two or three people there, it's big. Why? Preaching is big. Preaching is important. It always has been. I ask God this. I ask God when I prepare my sermons. I say, first thing I want to find out, does this please you? As I go through the sermon, I'm asking God, does it please you? I'm constantly asking myself this question. What do our people need? What do you need? What will help you to live a victorious life? So I start out saying, God, what do you need? Then I say, what do the people need? I ask myself, is it practical? Can they understand it? I don't know what in the world the purpose is for a preacher to stand up and preach something that nobody understands. I don't know if they're trying to show off their intellect. You have no threat of that happening here. I'm a dumb bunny. I'm an old country boy. Hey, my wife and my kids, they were laughing at me. We were on our way to vacation. They say, Dad, we get so tickled. Sometimes you'll use a word and you mispronounce that word. And we wish you wouldn't do that. I'll tell you something. I may not speak well. I don't have my grammar down like I ought to. But there's one thing I work at, and that's preaching. I enjoy preaching. It's a big thing to me. I ask myself this question about preaching. Am I feeding people at all levels? Am I helping the person that's just been in our church a couple of weeks? I don't want to preach above their head to the point where they're not being fed. It's like a baby. You give a baby a little bit of milk because if you gave that baby a piece of steak, it would choke on it. But wait a minute. I have people in this church. I was thinking of Dr. Millard English, president of a Bible college for many years. Dr. Tom Tennis back here, been in the ministry for 40 years or so, 40 plus years. And I think of some of the people that have been in the church and been around for years. Hey, I think I have 8 different pastors that used to pastor that now sit in this church. They're helping us. Some retired here. They have to be fed too. And I ask myself, am I feeding those that know the Bible well? But yet, am I feeding the little ones, the younger ones in the Lord? Preaching is so big to me. It is so big to me. I see it as the Super Bowl. I see it as the World Series. I see it as the Indy 500. Now, why? Why is it? Why is preaching so big to me? Well, preaching is important to me because I preach in His place. I preach in His place. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. I am His spokesman. An ambassador is someone that is representing the king from another country. And he's a spokesman. And I have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. His country is heaven. And I'm here. And I am an ambassador. And I represent Jesus Christ. You see, it is my job to stand here in His stead. This is His church. This is His congregation. This is His pulpit. This is His book. I am to preach His message. I'm to preach it His way. I'm to exalt His truth. I'm to be like a puppet to God. You know something? I'm not bothered by that. I'm not bothered. If I were a hand puppet and God slipped His hand into the puppet and He moved my mouth, that's exactly what I want. I never want to be beyond that. I'm not trying to prove what I am. I'm trying to prove what He is. I'm not trying to exalt me. I'm trying to exalt Him. I'm not trying to preach my message. I'm trying to preach His message. God, go ahead and stick your hand in. Move my lips. Move me like a little puppet. Go ahead and tell me what to say. Tell me what not to say. Tell me when to say it. Tell me when to be loud. Tell me when to be soft. Tell me when to be aggressive. Tell me when to back off. I want to be a puppet. Now, there's so many Christians, you don't want to be a puppet. You don't want someone to run you like that. I want God to run everything that happens in this church. You see, preaching is important to me because I preach in His place. I am His man. I do not say that arrogantly. I say that because I'm expressing to you ownership. I don't belong to myself. I belong to another. I belong to Him. I am His. I'm not a puppet to the people in the church with money. You've already found that out. You know, money doesn't bother me. I'm not interested in your money. I'm not a puppet to a board. I'm not a puppet to a denomination. But I am a puppet to Jesus Christ. I am standing here this evening in His place. Hey, if He could be here bodily, He would. He can't. He's here in spirit, and His spirit's to work through me. And I am a mouthpiece to give you what God wants you to have. Preaching's important to me. I ask myself, what would He preach if He were here Himself? Hey, I cannot begin to describe to you the pressure of preaching sermons. I cannot describe to you the pressure of knowing what to preach and when to preach it. Now, some preachers I don't think feel the pressure, but I do. I mean, to me, it's almost like there's a big chess game going on. It's us against the devil. And every move has to be strategic. And I want to make sure that we're taking his men out. I want to make sure that our men are safe. And I want to make sure that our church is safe. And to me, every day, I'm watching, I'm listening. I've got to make sure it's done right. I feel I'm his representative. And it is a very difficult thing to preach the right sermons and pick them. You ladies know what it's like to pick a dress on Sunday morning? I mean, you get one out, you lay it out, you put it up. You get another one out, you lay it on the bed, you put it away. Finally, after you go through about 8 of them, you say, I don't have a thing to wear today. Nothing looks good on me. Oh, I wish I had a new dress. So you go get a new dress, and I'll tell you something the next week. You say, I don't have a thing to wear. It's like, men, it's like picking a car. When it comes right down to it, picking a car can be pretty difficult. Oh, let me tell you, to stand in God's stead and preach a sermon, it is no little thing to me. It is no little thing at all. I believe if I preach the right thing, His Spirit will put His stamp of approval on it. His presence will be obvious. I think that I believe this. I think that my job is more important than the job of the President of the United States. I didn't say I was more important. I say the position. The Bible says I magnify mine office. I think standing in God's stead as a preacher, uplifting His word to His congregation in His Spirit is a lofty, lofty thing. Preaching is important to me. Why? Because I stand in His stead. Number two, preaching is important to me because I preach His word. His word. Matthew 24:35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This book was written by God. This is the only book God ever wrote, right there. That's it. God's word. It's so important to me. When I preach the word of God. Oh, how lofty. Oh, what a responsibility. Oh, I must be careful. Oh, hey, and listen, while I preach it, I'd be careful how you listen. I'd be careful how you respond. It's a big responsibility, this thing of the Word of God. Hey, this is not Moses' word. It's God's word. It's not Jeremiah's word. It's God's word. It's not Samuel's word. It's God's word. It's not Job's word. It's God's word. It's not David's word. It's God's word. It's not Solomon's word. It's God's word. It's not Ezekiel's word. It's God's word. It's not Daniel's word. It's God's word. It's not Joel's or Amos's word. It's God's word. It's not Zechariah's word. It's God's word. It's not Malachi's word. It's God's word. It's not Matthew's word. It's God's word. It's not Mark's word. It's God's word. It's not Luke's word. It's God's word. It's not John's word. It's God's word. It's not Paul's word. It's God's word. It's not Peter's word. It's God's word. It's not James' word. It's God's word. Hey, I'm talking about the Word of God. The Word of God. Preaching is important. Why? It's the Word of God. Preaching is important because the preacher stands in God's stead. Preaching is important to me. Why? Because someone's soul is at stake. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now listen to me. You listen to me very, very well. Sometimes we don't believe it, but every human being alive has a never-dying soul. It will go to heaven or it will go to hell. And preaching gets people saved. Preaching gets people saved. I don't know how many people were saved here this morning, but it was due to the preaching that went on in this property that those people got saved. Hey, listen, I was thinking, you know, you don't know. Sometimes you see, we only get one crack at somebody. Somebody comes to the church and the preaching, God, we got to be on target. We got to hit right in the center of the bullseye. Some of you guys, it's very important to you when you shoot, that you shoot right, you shoot straight, and you hit that bullseye. Let me tell you something. I work very hard at being a straight shooter. Amen. What kind of straight shooter? Straight shooter in the pulpit. I'm shooting for the bullseye. Hey, I'm not satisfied being in the outer ring. I don't want to just be close. I want to hit the bullseye. I want the Spirit of God to say, boy, that was right on target. You hit the nail on the head. You're not off track. We didn't lose your bullet. It hit the heart right when it's supposed to hurt. Listen, I was thinking a week ago Sunday morning, I preached a sermon. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? I started talking about what we had to lose, and I talked about how we could lose our eternity and lose our soul if we didn't get born again. Sitting right down here was a man that visited our service a couple of times by the name of Bill Rouse. I'll never forget. Boy, the invitation started. I watched that man, I mean a dignified man, sitting right down here. I watched him start walking toward the front, had tears in his eyes, got down on his knees. That grown adult man, probably in his late 40s or early 50s, came down here, and he got born again. After the service was over with, he walked by. I said, congratulations. He said, I've needed to do this for a long time, but today was the day. Ha! Bullseye! We rang the bell. We hit the nail on the head. He got exactly what he needed, when he needed it. Why? His soul was at stake. His soul was at stake. There are visitors that come to our church and they need to be born again. We better make sure that we hit the bullseye. There are even members, there are people that are members of churches that need to be saved. That sometimes lost people end up getting on the church roll. There are people, actually, they're lost and not even saved. They've made it to the baptistry. We're not supposed to get baptized unless you're saved, but sometimes people make it past salvation, into the water, past salvation, and somehow they even get on the church roll. Sometimes they're in church for years and years and years, and they're not even saved. Well, let me tell you something. The preaching of the gospel will save them that are lost, whether they're visitors, whether they're here for the first time, or they've been here all along. Heaven is real, folks. Hell is real. We may only have one chance to preach the gospel to the lost person. How often do I hear people say, of a visitor, they say, oh, I can't believe they're here. I never dreamed I'd get them into church. Oh, boy, they're here. And I'm thinking, oh, the pressure. What's the sermon they need? I hope I've done it right. I hope if I've got them one chance, I hope we get the gospel to them and praise God over and over and over again. One-time visitors get born again. They get saved. We had one shot at them, and we looked at the bullseye, and we said, there it is. We got to get the nail on the head and get the gospel out. You see, preaching is important to me because somebody's soul is at stake. Dr. Oliver B. Green, a great fundamentalist of yesteryear, used to have a radio broadcast. And so often, he'd pray at the end of that broadcast, and he'd say, Father, save the soul nearest hell today. Save the soul nearest hell. Hey, listen, I say to you, in our preaching, let's save the soul nearest hell today. Do you know it's a proven fact, fundamentalists rarely ever preach on hell anymore? They rarely ever preach on hell anymore. They're afraid to. They're afraid to. Well, I'll tell you something. There is a hell. It is real. And you'll die. And you'll go there if you're not born again. You better get it taken care of. You better get it taken care of tonight. And if you're here and you're not born again, you came the right night. It's not coincidental that you're here. It's not an accident. You say, boy, it's almost like you're preaching this just to me. Ha! Bullseye! We hit the nail on the head. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, that's exactly what God wanted to happen. Preaching's important to me. Why? I stand in His stead. Preaching is important to me. Why? Because I'm preaching His never-dying word. Preaching is important to me. Why? The souls of men are at stake. Preaching is important to me because a child's life is at stake. Mark chapter 10, verse number 14, it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." Some of the apostles had tried to pull some children away from Jesus, and Jesus said, "No, you bring them on." The preacher said, "No, bring them on." That's one reason why we have a bus ministry out here. We're going to bring the kids on. Oh, yes, I realize they'll soil our restrooms. I realize they'll mess up the carpeting, and they're going to maybe write some bad graffiti on the stalls in the restroom, but we'll clean it up. But we're not going to stop the kids from coming. We've got to get the children safe. Hey, the preaching is so important to children. I'll tell you something. Children's hearts are tender toward preaching. You get up and preach something to a child, they'll obey. The older you get, the harder you get. Oh, you've heard it all before. You don't need to hear that again. But children, you watch the children as they hit this altar. Oh, I love it. The kids, they just run to the altar. Why? Because their heart is tender and the preaching is important to me. Why? Because a child's life is at stake. You know, their whole life is before them. I'll tell you something. I want the children in our church, I want their lives to be good lives. I want them to be clean lives and wholesome lives. I'll tell you what, Brother Ray, if I can, I want to save your kids some heartache in life. I really do. Brother Spivis, as your boy grows up, you know what I'd like? I'd like for him not to have his heart broken in some areas of life because we taught him something and he heard the preaching and he grows up saying, "I'm not going to do that, Daddy. Preacher said it was wrong." That's what I'm looking for. That's what we want. Hey, Brother Conway, our whole goal is that when our children grow up, they don't go into some of the messes we were in. And the preacher gets up and he throws a fit and he says, "Don't go that way. Don't do that." What's our goal? Hey, children's lives are at stake. I hope that you'll join with me and say, you know something, let's keep our kids clean and let's keep them out of the world. Let's not let them mess up their lives. Hey, preacher, get up there and say it. Every once in a while now, I'm going to step on your toes because you're going to look back and say, "I used to live that way. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. My life was a mess." Hey, I'm not doing it to hurt you. I'm doing it to help them. The children's lives are at stake and the preaching will change the lives of children. It will mold their life and guide their life. I want them to bypass many hurts and heartaches in life. The preaching is so important to me. Why? Because I preach in His stead. Why? Because I'm preaching His Word. Why? Because as we preach, someone's soul, their eternity is at stake. Why? Because the children's lives are at stake. Preaching is very important to me. Why? Because teenagers' lives are at stake. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." You young people and you teenagers, I want you to have good marriages. I want you to have good finances. I want you to have good consciences. I want you to have good records. I want you to be clean, and I want your life. Hey, look, we're not going to get rid of all burdens in life. Young people, you're going to have burdens, but when they come, I want you to know they were coming. I want you to be prepared to carry the load of the burden. That's why preaching is so important to me. You know something? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "Flee youthful lusts." Let me tell you why, young people. The Bible's telling you when lust starts coming your way, run. Why? Because in your youth, the devil comes after you in a special way. He's trying to mess up your life before you get on good, solid ground for God. You know, you're not a child anymore. And you're in your young adult stage, and the devil starts throwing all these things at you. And he starts throwing the possibility of impurity and immorality at you, and the lust of life and the lust of the flesh. And God said, run from it, young people. Run from it. At this stage in your life, do the wise thing. Don't try to take lust on. You run from it. 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 Run from the back crowd. Run from the immorality. Run from the drugs. Run from the booze. Run, 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 run. That's my advice, teenager. Run from wrong. Run from it. You say, "Oh, no, Brother Lewis, I can associate with them and I'll be okay." No, you cannot. Your youthful lust, you should flee. Why? Preaching is so important to me, young people. Hey, I'll be there. Young lady, when you get pregnant out of wedlock, you come see me. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll be your friend. Young man, you mess up your life. I'll be your friend and I'll help you. But let me tell you something. The best thing I can tell you is just run from the wrong in the first place. Run to Jesus. Stay safe. Preaching is so important. Why? Teenagers' lives are at stake. Children's lives are at stake. Preaching is important to me because families and their happiness is at stake. Preaching saves marriages. I might irritate the fire out of you, but you'll get the truth. I'll stand up here and say, knock that off. You want to have a good marriage? You've got to stop doing that. That's not going to work. You say, you're trying to embarrass me? I'm trying to save you all sorts of embarrassment. Oh, yeah. I remember there are couples here this evening. This happened many years ago. I was preaching, and I'd had a retreat for young married couples. Oh, I'm going to guess there are about 60 or 7 married couples there. For 2 days, I preached my heart out. Preached and preached and preached about marriage and how to do it and how not to do it and how to love and how not to love. At the end, we had an altar call. Nobody was sitting in their seat. Nobody was standing. Married couples everywhere. I'm talking about virtually people laying on the ground, crying and weeping over their marriages. We got done and got ready to close, and somebody stood to testify. Then another. About an hour and 15 minutes later, I finally said, folks, we've got to go home. Then a man stood and he said, may I be the last? And I said, yes, sir. I'll not mention his name. There are people here that would know who he is. He would say, I'm going to tell you the truth. We came to this retreat. The divorce papers are already drawn up. We were told that we needed to seek counseling and work on our reconciliation. And I said, fine, we'll go to this retreat. I slept on the floor last night. She slept in the bed. We were getting a divorce. The papers are underway. The divorce is settled. It's all going to take place. And he said, you kept on preaching and preaching. He said, at our last break, I went to my wife and said, honey, we can't give up. I'm calling the lawyer. I'm telling him the divorce is off. I want to stay married to you. And she said, I want to stay married to you. The last service revival broke out in their hearts. They stood up weeping, saying, we are getting a divorce. The sermon saved our marriage. Preaching is important to me. Preaching changes lives. Preaching saves marriages. Preaching saves young people. Preaching salvages our children. Preaching saves the lost. Preaching is important to me because sometimes someone's very life is at stake. You know what one sermon could save a life? One sermon. Who knows if God's deadline for your behavior is tomorrow, but you might get right with God tonight and save your very life. I have a plaque here that was given to me. It says on it, there's a 357 bullet that's attached to it. The verse, it says, Dr. Jeffrey A. Owens, a verse, Jude 22, and of some having compassion making a difference, and a date, September 25, 1994. Young lady had a 357 in her purse. She was going to blow her brains out that day, all planned. She came to a preaching service. And God got a hold of her. Little did I know, as she sat there and squirmed in her seat and felt the pressure of the Holy Spirit of God, as God said, shoot at the bullseye, Jeff, shoot at the bullseye. And I pulled the trigger with steady aim and pulled the trigger of the old gospel gun. She went home and emptied that gun, brought it to me. She said, I need to get rid of this. I was going to kill myself. And that service saved my life. She kept one of the bullets and had it put on a plaque and gave it to me. I keep it in my office. I glance at it every once in a while to be reminded. I don't know who's here. Yes, I do get into what I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I am very intense. Yes, life is at stake. Somebody's marriage is at stake. Yes, it's urgent to me. Yes, it's big to me. Your life is big to me. Your marriage is big to me. Your teenagers are big to me. Your children are big to me. Your soul is big to me. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And God help me to step out of the pulpit when it's no longer big to me. I am His ambassador. It is my job to uplift the old-time gospel and help people. Preaching is important to me. Why? Our very lives. Do you know that someone's life could be turned around this evening, and if they're 20 years old, for the next 40 years they could have a good life because of one sermon? One sermon. Preaching's amazing to me. Amazing. Preaching's important to me because our church's unity and our church's success is at stake. See, preaching is the lubrication that keeps churches' gears lubricated so they run smoothly. When preachers stop preaching like they're supposed to, all of a sudden the gears in the church start getting gritty and grimy. There's no lubrication. The Holy Spirit doesn't get involved, doesn't stay smooth. We don't work together. The preaching helps to set the points, if you will, a little bit. It fine-tunes everything. We're a family. The preaching services are like family devotions. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And right now, I'm the daddy. And we're all sitting around the fireplace. And we're having a little family devotion about how it's supposed to be at the church house. Proper preaching and obedience to it keeps peace in God's house. Preaching is important to me because the old-time religion is at stake. Listen, the churches of today are so far removed from what they were 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. It's sad. It is so sad. We're so sucked up into TV religion. We're so sucked up into impressing people. Churches, they look like big dramas anymore. And it's all entertainment. I've got news for you. The primary thing that happens here will be the preaching. And the music will promote the preaching. And the invitation comes after the preaching. Preaching's important. And the preaching helps promote the old-time music. And the preaching, and we need old-time altar calls and the old-time doctrines of this book. And we need the old-time ways and old-time standards. As you know, we started a little conference, and we'll see what the Lord does with it. Evangelist Alan Donnelly and I, a couple years ago, began to talk about this. We're starting a conference called the Old Paths Conference. If you've seen the advertisement, it says there'll be contemporary nothing at our conference. It'll be the old ways. The old ways. It'll be preached straight and without apology. Not because we're trying to be rude or crude, but because we will stand on the Word of God and the Spirit of God and preach the Word of God without apology. Oh, everybody's so afraid to get up and tell it like it is. But you know what I'm finding out? There are a lot of people out there that would like it just to be told like it is. Just like the Bible has it. September the 23rd and 24th, down in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, we'll have the very first Old Paths Conference. Maybe some of you, you want to go down. My entire male staff will be there. It'll be the first. We're going to have the national conference right here at our church. And so get ready. We're not only going to have a national ladies conference. Now we're going to have a preaching conference. It's going to be called the Old Paths Conference. We're going to help stay on the old time way. The old time way. Now, again, I'm not out to start a fight with anybody. I'm not out to pick a bone with anybody except for one, and that's the devil, and he's going to get socked every chance that we get, and we're going to preach the old time way. Preaching's important to me. It's important to me. Preaching's important to me because God desires to do a supernatural work, and he often does it through the tool of preaching. You know, if God has a magic wand, can I tell you what it is? Preaching. Preaching. Like that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God gets into something. And I'm not afraid to talk about him. Have you noticed? Well, a good old dose of the Holy Ghost would do some of these dead churches some good. I'm not talking about rambling in tongues and all that kind of trash. I'm talking about where the Spirit of God comes in a powerful way, saves souls, and does a mighty work in the hearts of people. You know, that's why we have so much entertainment in our churches today. We're trying to replace the Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is missing, so we're conjuring up our own spirit. Oh, God uses preaching in a very big way. Can you imagine, young man by the name of D.L. Moody, can you imagine being the preacher in the preaching service when that young man was called to preach? And then D.L. Moody virtually turns the world upside down for Christ. One preaching service, probably a handful of people. A handful of people and a preacher got up and preached the Word of God, and in a supernatural way, God moved in and said, I just saved that boy right there. That boy right there. And God said, oh, if you only knew the plans that I have for that boy. How do I know that not one of these boys here on the front row, how do I not know that one of these little children sitting by you tonight is the next D.L. Moody? We better have preaching, because preaching could do a supernatural work. Who knows? Will the next Jack Hiles come from this congregation? Will the next
next Billy Sunday come from right here? Will the next Fanny Crosby, a great song leader, come from this service? Who knows? We better preach like it's going to happen. Who knows? God desires to do a supernatural work. The day of Pentecost. I wonder what they were thinking. When the apostles said, we're going to have a big meeting. Go get everybody you can. They started gathering up people. I wonder if they said, it's just another spring attendance campaign. It's another fall attendance campaign. Did they have any idea it would be the most famous preaching service in history? Did they have any idea that when the guy would get up there and cut loose and preach the gospel, 3,000 people would come, get saved, get baptized, and join the church? Did they have any idea? Supernatural work is done by what? Preaching. Which sermon is it? Which one? Which service is it that God's going to do a supernatural work? I don't know. Which sermon is it that God's going to save that soul nearest hell? Which sermon is it that God is going to do the supernatural and turn something all the way around? I don't know. And so because of that, every sermon is that sermon to me. Every sermon. Every one. So what's a big deal, Brother Owens? What's a big deal about preaching? Well, it's important to me because I stand in His stead. I'm preaching His Word. Someone's soul is at stake. A child's life is at stake. A teenager's future is on the line. A marriage, we may make it or break it in one service. Someone's very life may be teetering in the balances. Our church's unity, our church's success may be at stake. The old-time religion needs kept alive. God may want to do a supernatural work. And Jesus was a preacher. He was a preacher. That's why preaching is so important to me. I hope that preaching will become important to you. It used to be more important to some of you. Well, preaching's not changed. Probably though you have. Preaching. God's magic wand, if you will. Somehow, He takes the foolishness of preaching and does supernatural works. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.